powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, it is Seattle Times Mariners reporter Ryan Divish. Ryan, tough road trip. How are you feeling?
I'm happy to be back. It was a long one, that's for certain. 10 days, I think, all on the East Coast. I don't know what time I got up today. It was early.
Just in a blur, in a daze. Obviously, it starts with a series against the Mets that has people feeling good. Didn't do so well against the Blue Jays, but they entered that series against a struggling Boston team, and Mariners fans thought maybe on a tough road trip they could split this or they could come out with at least a win. Ryan, this was, I think, one of the more disappointing stretches of performances from this team that I've seen. Is this, when you look at the problem, a Boston team getting hot or a Mariners team that just can't compete?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, like, Trevor Story wasn't going to be terrible all season, though I think the Mariners probably would have preferred it that way. Instead, you know, he got hot against them. And the Mariners haven't played very well. Like, their bullpen hasn't been very good. You know, starting pitching has been okay at times. You know, Flexen wasn't great the other night. And then just really haven't hit as timely as they've needed to. You know, you score some runs there and you get five runs, you feel like you should win. But, you know, you look at the bullpen now, and it's kind of in a situation where it was a little bit like last year, where the service really only trusted, like, Casey Sadler, Drew Steckenrider, Paul Sewald. For a while, it was JT Chargois before they traded him. And then maybe a little bit of Anthony Misevich. Right now, it seems like he can only trust Paul Sewald and Sergio Romo, and the rest is a total crapshoot. I mean, like, you just don't know what you're going to get from Steckenrider or Diego Castillo. Misevich hasn't been very good of late. And then the other guys, you know, are largely unproven. Andres Munoz has all the talent in the world, but, you know, you can't throw an 0-2 pitch right down the middle and, you know, expect it not to get hit. That just doesn't work that way.
You know, Ryan, it really was a heartbreaker of a series here with the Red Sox on so many levels. And part of it is that they just could not find a way to win these close ball games, right? They get themselves in position, especially over the last two games, get themselves in positions to compete, and then the wheels fall off. What do you make of that, it, just in and of itself? Whereas last year, it was a huge identity of this team that they were able to come up clutch in clutch situations.
Yeah, you know, it is. Sometimes it falls down to execution, you know, like just executing when the situation calls for it. You know, like even like yesterday, you know, you get the run off of the Adam Frazier single in the 10th, in the top of the 10th, but you still have runners first and third, and you have Ty France and JP Crawford coming up, and you don't get a run out of that. I mean, that's important. You know, obviously Cordero hits a grand slam, but it'll, you know, you have a 2-run lead or a 3-run lead going into the bottom of the 11th or bottom of the 10th. I'm sorry. You have a way to play it differently. And they didn't execute. They've been terrible with runners in scoring position. You know, JP Crawford hasn't been great. If you look at his numbers with runners in scoring position, you know, service feels like he's kind of trying to maybe do a little too much, hit with more power instead of just kind of spraying it all over the field. We saw him do that a little bit in Saturday's loss. You know, Ty France is really, him and Adam Frazier have been the two guys carrying it. And then the rest of the guys haven't. You know, you're striking out with runners in scoring position. It just can't happen. You know, they had a double play with runners in scoring position. You can't, when you're not very good offensively and you're not great at, like, you know, putting a lot of runs across, and they haven't had a ton of extra base opportunities, you have to execute. You have to hit situationally. You cannot strike out. You cannot hit in a double play. Get the ball in the air. Get the run in. I think that's been a big problem. And, you know, same with the bullpen and even the starters. They're putting too many runners on base, either by hits or walks or whatever. And when you lead the league in homers, that's a problem. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't do that. And I think they have not played at a very high level. You know, you throw in a few errors in the field, Julio overthrowing third when maybe he shouldn't have thrown it. All these things, it's just not a very crisp level of baseball that we saw from them last season.
Do you see a club that looks like it can improve, or do you see a club that looks like it could continue to struggle?
I mean, I think they can do either. I think that they'll probably improve. The schedule alone should help them improve a little bit. It gets a little easier. I mean, you've got three versus the A's, and then after the series with the Astros, you have three versus the Orioles, and you have another three coming up against the Rangers down in Texas. So it is a little bit easier. You don't have that gauntlet. I mean, the Mets, you know, they win the series against the Mets, who are one of the best teams in the National League. And, you know, the Blue Jays and the Red Sox are good at home. I mean, like, they're not as bad as the record indicated. I don't know if they're good, but they're not as bad as the record indicated. So those were tough games. You know, you look at, they've had to go to Tampa. You know, they've played in, I don't even remember, I've been traveling. They've played at Houston. You know, all these games, they've played a tough schedule. They haven't been able to feast on some of these weaker teams. We saw when they played the Royals and the Rangers, you know, they went 7-2 on that homestand. So they're capable of that. I think, yeah, I mean, like, so I wrote today, it came out earlier, just kind of like a year ago today, the Mariners were just coming off of getting swept by the Padres and getting outscored 31-7. They had guys on the COVID. I mean, it was basically rock bottom right then and there. And then they just kind of kept winning. They won two out of three in Oakland. They swept the Rangers, and then they went on a run, you know, and then all of a sudden I think they were 43 and something at the break, you know, 7 or 8 games over 500. So this team is a better team than what they were putting out last year. They need to play like it a little bit. You know, you need Jesse Winker to start hitting. You need, you know, Chris Flexen to give them a little bit more. You know, they need some more consistency from the catching position as well. And I think they're capable of that.
Well, it also complicates the matter when you have not only one team that you're competing against, which we all kind of expected the Astros to be that team, but then you have the Angels as well that are playing really good baseball, and we'll see how it goes over the long term. But that certainly makes this, you know, thought process of, hey, the Mariners can dig themselves out of this hole just that much more complicated or that much more difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it right now, the Mariners only have a better record than three other teams in the American League. The A's, the Tigers, and the Royals, they have the same record as the Orioles. So it's not like they're in a position of strength. You know, they just haven't been, you know, they haven't played well and other teams are playing well. And, you know, it's too late to say it's early. Mm-hmm. And they're digging themselves a hole that's difficult to get out of. People always say, like, oh, it's only 5 or 6 games. But, you know, when it's 4 or 5 teams that you're competing for against those 5 or 6 games, it's hard to make up ground unless you rip off 7, 8, 9, 10 wins in a row. And I don't know that this team is capable of doing that or is good enough to do that. You know, they're good enough to win series and stuff like that. But, yeah, and the thing with the Angels is they haven't – their strength of schedule hasn't been super tough. And they're just as susceptible as the Mariners are. Like, you look at Mariners lost some relievers that really hurt them. You know, the kind of the indecisiveness with the number 5 spot in the rotation. And Seattle lost Mitch Haniger. I mean, like, they miss him every single day. His presence in the lineup, in the clubhouse, the intensity he brings – he is a big factor in their struggles and not having him. And if you take even one of those guys out of the Angels, you know, whether it's Trout or Otani or, you know, Rendon, that affects their lineup a lot. And I think that's an issue as well.
I mean, it is, but Ryan, I keep going back to the last time we had you on. You were talking about a conversation you had with Mitch during a spring training when he was asking you about the payroll, saying, like, who do they add or who did we add? Mm-hmm. And then he said that he was frankly worried what would happen if him or Ty or JP were to get hurt. And I can't tell if, Ryan, I'm being overly critical by saying the Mariners should have foreseen a possibility that Mitch Haniger, who has had many an unfortunate injury, even though he's a stellar player, might be down for some time or might miss time and maybe should have made a plan around that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, the Mariners were relying on a lot of things to go right. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, Mitch Haniger stayed healthy all last year, and so it went right, and unfortunately kind of a fluke incident this year. But, yeah, before that he hadn't stayed healthy all season, and they were relying on Jarred Kelenic to build off of 1 month at the end, or 1.5 months at the end of last season. They were relying on a kid that, you know, had never, on Julio Rodriguez, who has been good. Mm-hmm. And he's handled that. But, you know, and then just kind of that whole – and they're relying on Kyle Lewis eventually returning at some point. So, yeah, there was a lot of what-ifs. And And, you know, you can offset those what ifs in a lot of ways by going out and dumping some money on the free agent market to get guys. And I know they tried. And you know, everybody has their limit of threshold. And I guess that's the price you pay when you haven't been very good, is that, you know, you have to overpay more to get guys to want to come here. And some guys just don't want to come here.
Yeah, it's true. And that's why, Ryan, I look at this season, and as you kind of watch it unfold and how it came together, that's where some of the frustration comes in, because it almost feels like the conversation about, hey, this team, you know, the expectations, playoffs, and all those things that really have gotten fans excited coming off 2021, the way that this team was put together, it was very much, it felt kind of like hedge-ish, that they're trying to find ways to improve the team, but also there's more of a premium, it felt like, to watch guys have the opportunity to develop. But that wasn't necessarily the messaging that was given to the fan base. Does that make sense as to what I'm communicating here? Do you see it the same way, or do you think it's just unfortunate luck that they're going through?
I mean, I think on some level you have to sell, you know, you have to pivot when you don't get the guys you want in free agency, when the market doesn't go your way. You know, you can criticize them for coming out and saying, hey, look, we're going to go for it. We're going to spend. You know, and then you're not able to do it. You know, like people don't want to hear about coming in second place. You know, well, we were in on this, we were in on that. No, finish the deal. You're a closer. New Jersey was a closer for a while. Coffee's for closers. Close the deal out. Get the players in here. You know, at some point, you know, you're gonna have to pay a little bit more than you want. You're gonna have to take that risk to get by this, to get going. But you're right in the sense that, like, it. You know, you've got Kalnick. You've got all these guys that are out there. And you were forced to play him, and then you say, well, we want to see what they've got. But, you know, if they don't win, like if this thing continues to go south, you know, and they're, let's say, 9 or 10 games out at the trade deadline, they're going to trade Mitch Haniger and Adam Frazier and probably Paul Sewald, and they'll shop Marco Gonzalez and Chris Flexen, because that's what they do, you know, and that's awesome. Like, if you can go from that mode of a buyer into a seller that quickly, I mean, maybe you weren't in your window that you really believed, because they didn't. I mean, you could say that they didn't do enough to the roster this off season and the season before that to really say that they're in a true window for optimal success.
All right, final question here, Ryan. Any health updates or anything that we should know about? I know Kyle Lewis is obviously one to watch, but what's the latest in terms of this club getting maybe just a little healthier?
Yeah, I mean, like, I haven't heard anything specific. Eric Swanson's playing catch, and he'll be back here pretty soon. You know, they're hoping here in another week, I think. And then Ken Giles is actually throwing off a mound, and he's progressing. Those guys will help. You know, Giles is still probably 2 or 3 weeks away. The Justin Upton signing, I don't even know. I mean, the guy was sitting on his couch a week ago, so we'll see how that progresses. And Kyle Lewis, I don't, from kind of what I'm hearing, is I don't know if it's going to be today, maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
I don't know if he needed a day to kind of get things set. They may need a day for roster stuff. I don't know, but it sounds like maybe more tomorrow than today.
All right, he is Ryan Divish. His latest, what we've learned from the Mariners' bad start to the season, is fresh up. It is right on SeattleTimes.com. Go check it out. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us.
All right, see you guys.
Thanks, Ryan.
All right, tonight is the Title IX 50th anniversary celebration at T-Mobile. The Mariners are celebrating with a ticket special that gives you access to a pregame panel hosted by Root Sports' Angie Mentink. Then you can watch the M's take on the A's with a 6:40 p.m. first pitch. Find tickets at mariners.com/Title IX. That's Roman numerals, so it's mariners.com/Title IX. Let's get to headline rewrites.
Extra, read all about it.
Headline rewrites.
Presented by Tila Mortgage.
The real story behind the headlines in today's news with Jake and Stacy.
Headline number one, the Seahawks begin OTAs today. What is the real headline?
The Seahawks just entered one of the most important parts of the year for a young team.
100%.
That's the real headline.
100%. And this is going to be a critical time for the coaches to be able to identify guys in terms of what they need to improve on, what they need to work on, and also who can gain their trust. That's a big part of it. And when you have a bunch of young guys playing, there's going to be mistakes along the way. But who can make those mistakes and come back the very next day and fix them and not be repeat offenders? These are all things that this staff is going to learn about these players, and these players have the opportunity to show that. That's what I think is critical here. This is going to be learning, growing opportunities, and it'll be exciting to watch. But yeah, you're right, Stacey. Your headline rewrite nailed it. This is one of the most important OTAs that they have had in quite some time due to all the newness, due to the fact that you're going to have a lot of young players and new players playing for you this season.
Headline rewrites.
Good news, guys. The Mariners are introducing the walk-off market this week at T-Mobile Park. You don't even need to get cash out.
Nice.
Let's go.
They scan your retinas, I think. That's how it works.
The new age.
They're introducing that
now
at T-Mobile Park. Walk-off market. What's the real headline?
Fun fact, the first purchase was made by Franchi Cordero.
Ugh. Oh, Stacey.
It's a little-known fact.
Why? Why?
Now, I will say the concept is clever. The idea that you walk out, like you, like the little Amazon market, right? Like you get it and you just leave. Like the walk-out market, I get it. Uh-huh. Or walk-off market, I get it. It's clever. It's just the timing. Whoo, it stings a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. not when you just gave up a walk-off grand slam to end a series where you
maybe
went 0-4.
Maybe a soft launch that.
Ooh, yeah, I don't know.
Open it and then it's like, oh yeah, this is a thing.
Yeah, it is a thing. Hey, that's a good point. Soft launch would have been a lot better here. Let's wait to see like a couple days what happens with the A's series, and then we can announce it. This was some unfortunate timing, but you know what? Hey, cool. You know, opportunity. We'll see what happens here with the fan experience. But you know what? I think a lot of fans are really wanting
winning.
Yeah.
You know what makes for a great fan experience? This is wild, but you know what makes for a really fun day at the ballpark? A win.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I'll tell you what.
That's super fun. That is super fun.
But Stacey, come on. I mean, don't underestimate the thrill of just grabbing stuff and walking out and feeling like you just walked out of there for free, and then you realize that you get your update on your phone. No. They definitely charge you for that.
I've never done one of those before, and I think that I would not accidentally, but maybe I would buy way too
you
much.
Would buy you would $300 worth of peanuts.
You would get carried away. I'm too indecisive. I would go through aisles and I would be like, maybe I want that too. I'll just hang on to it until I leave. And then I would walk out with two arms full of things.
We did this once at the Kraken game with my boys, and my 5-year-old Jackson thought legitimately that we got it for free. He was like, Dad, we got all this for free? Like,
Jackson
going
into stores now, walking out with things.
Oh, no, son. We paid for this. We paid.
Headline rewrite.
Jackson, Winona Ryder, Heaps.
No, no.
That's what we call him.
Don't you put that evil on me.
The old 5-finger discount.
No. Jackson's so sweet. He is so sweet. He would be like...
He's a rule follower,
I feel
too.
Like Jackson would tell you, Dad, he would have told you, you need to return that.
Yeah, well, he was worried. He was like, Dad, do we need to pay for this? Like, he is... My 5-year-old is a rule follower to the point where... We had a basketball come over our fence, and we didn't know where it came from. So we were like, hey, we'll just put it in our garage, and we'll try to figure this out tomorrow. He was like, no, Dad, that's not our basketball. The police are going to come. They're going to come arrest us. Like, no, we are not taking this basketball. And it's like, it's fine. We're going to give it to somebody. We don't have time to figure this out. It's late. We're going to go to bed, whatever. No, Dad, someone's going to come arrest us.
Like, I will not be implicated.
Did you guys ever download music on LimeWire or whatever?
Yes, you wait like 5 hours.
You thought the FBI would like bust
in
through your door.
You put like 8 viruses on your parents' computer.
Oh, yes. It doesn't. It works so slow.
You don't want to spend $9.
But guess what? Did you sit there and wait for 3 hours to download a single song?
Absolutely.
Heck yeah.
But then I was also worried at all times that literally like FBI... police officer. Open up.
It's the police.
Yeah. We saw that you were downloading Adele.
It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was my mom, Joe Hayes. She did it. She did it.
Headline number 3, the Mariners are addressing their thin outfield. by bringing in former number one overall pick, all-star,
all right,
Justin Upton, who hasn't been good in like 5 years.
He's 34?
Yeah, he's 34.
Real headline.
On the doorstep of death.
Forget what I said. Forget everything I said about the Mariners leading up to this. The real headline, Mariners problems are solved. Nothing to see here.
Oh man.
Boy. Curtis, I'm surprised you didn't go with the word decrepit. I mean, it's like that's...
God. I mean... What is
crazy.
This going to do for their lineup? He's not going to come in here and be Nelson Cruz. I mean, weren't we talking about at the beginning of this season, like, oh, you leave the DH spot open so there's a lot of positional flexibility?
Uh-huh. Justin Upton offers, like
where,
Justin
why are you
Upton
sailing?
Offers you none of that.
No, he doesn't.
He is a DH.
And also, neither does Kyle Lewis, because Kyle Lewis is not going to touch the field when he's up here. He is going to be, Stacey, don't hesitate on that. He is... You think he's going to be in the outfield?
No.
You think he's going to touch the field? He is going to be a DH. And that is what drives me nuts in all of this is that, hey, we talked about flexibility and this, that, and the other. How about get a really good DH? And, you know, I people hate bringing this up, but what about you kept Kyle Seager for another year and then you still made this Jesse Winker, Eugenio Suarez trade? And Suarez is your DH. And you have another bat that could drive in.
More to the payroll.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. That's right.
So you see what you can't, because you don't realize there's a salary cap. Oh, no, sorry.
Got it.
Okay. I got my information mixed up.
All right.
We're talking about MLB. There's no salary cap. I'm sorry.
We're down bad right now. And you know what? Watching, just being absolutely dismantled by Trevor Story over the last four games, that'll do it to you. That'll definitely do it
to
you.
Wasn't it so fitting that Trevor Story
got
5 home runs in this
series.
Well,
I personally just loved it, and I tweeted this out.
I know Curtis liked it. He was laughing maniacally by the last
incredible.
One.
Incredible.
I tweeted
a place of pain.
I tweeted this out, and people were livid. I understand it. Trevor Story stinks. Never wanted him. Too much money. Whatever helps y'all sleep at night. And people were really mad at me for saying that, but it's true. That's what we saw all through our text line, everything, before we get into the series with Trevor Story. And he just absolutely dismantles the Mariners. I mean, just shows you that good talent can pop off at any point. That's what happens when you're really, really talented.
It's almost like averages are averages for a reason. They kind of average out. It's Jake and Stace. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710 and seattlesports.com. All right, we are going to take a look around the NFL. That's coming your way next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, taking a look around the NFL, and I'm going to start with news that really grinds my gears, Jake. Really gets me mad. Not really that mad, but so the rules of HBO's Hard Knocks. The rules of HBO's Hard Knocks is that your club cannot have made the playoffs for the prior two seasons, right?
Correct, yep.
Now, so everyone was like, oh, can the Seahawks be in Hard Knocks? Wouldn't that be cool? Yes, it would have been cool. It would have had nothing to do with me trying to get on camera for HBO. That's ridiculous. It would not have been self-serving. I think it would be nice for this club to be featured in Hard Knocks so people can get a peek behind the scenes of what I think is a pretty unique culture in the NFL. Again, nothing to do with me.
You just want to show off your outfits.
That's ridiculous.
So
that's stupid.
Would you be coming in with like a fashion runway outfit every single day?
I would do outfit changes. Truly,
in the middle of practice?
In the middle. Well, not in the middle of practice, but I mean,
yes,
like would I leave the field and then come back in like a gown? No. Anyway, so there's also this this separate thing. Hard Knocks started this new venture called Hard Knocks In Season. So the rules for that one are a little bit different. The rules for Hard Knocks still exist. Hard Knocks In Season, though, not quite the same. The Arizona Cardinals going to be featured on HBO's Hard Knocks In Season for Season 2. They obviously made the playoffs last year, but they were the team chosen. That is the headline. Second headline, I'm very upset it wasn't the Seahawks.
Yeah, but if the Seahawks have anything to do with it, have anything at all, they don't want anybody in their building.
Hear me
like
out.
not even want to have just the thought of it, because I think for that organization, they feel like they have something truly special and unique in terms of the way that they handle their you know, meetings, the way that they handle everything else. And you might be able to, you know, call it whatever you want, but they don't want anybody to get the inside look as to how they do things or how they go about their business. And look, Pete Carroll has some leg to stand on there, because there's been a lot of college coaches, a lot of NFL coaches that have tried to take the original Seahawks, USC, hype environment, all of that to their individual programs. So, but I know that the feeling in that building is that they want nothing to do with any of these.
My complaint that I would like to lodge, tell me one thing other than looking kind of like Ryan Gosling that seems interesting about Cliff Kingsbury. He might be a nice guy, like, for sure. I just think that, like, we're going over this, like, Hollywood kind of, it's the same fascination with the Rams.
Uh-huh.
Genuinely tell me what's interesting about the Cardinals, other than Kyler Murray not showing up to OTAs. Which
well, that's pretty
headline.
Interesting. Don't DeAndre undersell Hopkins. That. That's pretty darn interesting. That's
DeAndre Hopkins out for 6 weeks.
Yeah, yep. Dealing with that. You've got J.J. Watt. You got Buda Baker.
Buda Baker is not, as a dog, I love Buda Baker. Buda Baker is not who I would include as, like, reasons to
Hollywood
drive.
Brown.
Yeah.
Come on, Stacey.
I don't know. I think that there are other teams I'd be interested in seeing.
Okay.
Bears
All
and
right.
the Cardinals would not be top five.
Well, I
no
mean,
offense to the Cardinals.
You're missing out. I mean, right. I'll be tuning in to watch Cliff
I'm
Kingsbury.
Obviously going to be watching it, but I'm going to be watching it jealously. Well, speaking of, Kyler Murray is staying away from OTAs, as is Deebo Samuel. Neither have reported.
That's utterly ridiculous. Deebo Samuel, I totally get. Kyler Murray, you want to know how you show your organization that you're worth spending money on? You want to show your organization how you're a franchise quarterback that they should trust and invest millions upon millions of dollars over the next foreseeable future? Yeah, how about don't show up to OTAs, don't be a leader while everybody else is there?
Devil's advocate, doesn't Russell Wilson skip those?
No.
He doesn't skip OTAs and go work out. When does he work out in San Diego?
No, he's there.
He's there for OTAs?
Yeah. Nice try. I've been a part of his training regimen. This is the last guy to question. I've been a part of his training regimen for the past, five seasons. I know when he's in and out. He is in San Diego in February, March, April, and then as soon as they start in April, he's there with the team when OTAs start. But the difference has been...
I believe my truth.
Oh, okay. The difference has been COVID over the last 2 years has totally messed up OTAs and off-season training. And so that's changed things a little bit. Last year, the Seahawks had like a weird hybrid, veterans stay away from the facility. The rookies are there the whole time. Then the veterans come and did like a little mini OTAs. It just was all bad. It just was not. I think the players really messed that up all across the board around the NFL last year. Russell shows up to OTAs.
I have horrible news. For all of those Seahawks fans out there, one of whom is sitting in the control room, who were hoping that Nick Foles, bear down, would sign with the Seattle Seahawks, I have an update. Nick Foles will not be a Seattle Seahawk. He has signed with the Indianapolis Colts.
I hope Pete Carroll and John Schneider are okay with knowing that they have made the biggest mistake in their entire professional lives, letting Nick Foles out of their facility. They could have had him. They could have had a quarterback, not just for the now, but for the foreseeable future. This is a guy who you build around, a Super Bowl winner.
Instead, he signs with an East Coast team.
Midwest.
Midwest, I know. I just
this typical Midwest bias.
Classic
Midwest bias. Those folksy people in
Indianapolis. Are the Colts destined for a Super Bowl? Because not only do they have Matt Ryan, they now have Nick Foles. So, like, they're
a couple of really nice guys.
Well, the trick is for Matt Ryan to take you through week 15,
right.
Get injured, then Nick Foles picks up the
There's back. Insurance, and then there's, like, double insurance. You're, like, double protected.
Yeah.
Like, the Colts are
Matt
double
Ryan,
protected right now.
How does Matt Ryan feel about his backup quarterback being a Super Bowl
Nervous.
Winner, and he's not?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, how does he feel about Nick Foles being backup quarterback? I'd say I'm looking over
Matt
my
Ryan, one of the most accomplished quarterbacks to never win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
His backup has won one.
maybe that's why they brought in Nick Foles, to teach Matt Ryan how to close the deal. How to close the deal in a Super Bowl.
Like,
that's...
Matt, you know how to complete a season. You know how to lead a great offense. You know how to throw for 4,500 yards. Nick, you can teach Matt how to win a single game, but it's the most important one.
That's right.
That's all you got to do.
That's exactly right.
Next up here, NFL.com has a feature ranking the five most complete rosters in the league. I'll start with number five, Denver
Broncos.
It's
clearly the Colts number one now that they got Nick Foles.
No. Number four, the Kansas City Chiefs. The Colts are not listed in honorable mention either. The Rams, Browns, and Bengals are honorable mention. So, number five, Broncos. Number four, Chiefs. Number three, Bills. Number two, Chargers. Either of you want to take a guess at what NFL.com ranked as the most complete roster? Mark Ross.
The most complete roster?
Mark Ross, NFL analyst, the most complete roster in the NFL. It is not the,
yeah, the
Broncos,
Chargers too?
Chiefs, Bills, Chargers.
It is not.
It is not the Broncos, Bills, Chiefs, or Chargers. All right, I'll tell you.
Is it the Bucks?
Yep.
It is the Bucks. It's
really?
Tampa Bay Buccaneers,
no,
ranked as the most
no way
roster.
No way. No
yes.
way. No way.
Yes,
no
that's
way.
What he
no
says.
Way.
That's
Mark
what he
Ross.
Says.
Mark Ross is totally lying
Incorrect.
On this situation.
Incorrect.
This
he
is
says,
classic
no.
Tom Brady bias.
Classic. Southeast bias.
Because guess what? They don't have the most complete roster. They don't. They don't have the most complete roster. Do they have a very good roster? Yes. Does Tom Brady give them excellent chance to win the Super Bowl as any other quarterback in the NFL? Of course. But that doesn't make them the most complete roster. They've got a lot of turnover. They have a lot of changes that they're trying to overcome on both sides of the ball. I would say that there are other teams out there in the NFL that I would take their rosters over Tampa Bay. But that doesn't mean that they're not a Super Bowl favorite.
Tom Brady has reached a level of success that is so unattainable and unfathomable that he winning a Super Bowl, if he were to lead the Bucs to a Super Bowl win in 2022, it would not be an awe-inspiring moment. It would be a laugh-out-loud, laughing-maniacally moment. Like, it would turn from being really cool to just objectively hilarious. If he were to win a Super Bowl after coming out of retirement and leading the Bucs there again. Like, it would become a joke.
It would.
But not in a bad way. Just, it would, like, I don't know how else to make sense of it, so I'm just laughing about it.
Right.
Don't forget, Thursday night, you can join Maura Dooley and me for a special one-hour show from 6 to 7 p.m. live from Media Row at the 87th Annual Sports Star of the Year Awards. So, just so you guys know, I'm going to be, like, on the red carpet. It's Jake and Stace. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710. Why are you laughing? In the Seattle Sports app. Let's get back to the Mariners. We're going to reflect on some of what we talked about with Ryan, how they can move things forward. Hopefully some good health updates. We'll take a look at all of it coming up next.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
You're laughing a little too maniacally over there, Jake.
Okay, there's two reasons. Number one, you can't just throw out the fact that you're going to be on the red carpet with Maura Dooley for...
Exactly right. It shouldn't be a surprise at all. It should be something you guys are expecting. Oh, there's an event in Seattle. Stacy's probably on the red carpet.
Okay, so let me ask you this. How much have you prepared for this moment?
You mean like dietary restrictions wise or studying questions wise?
I wasn't going to ask about your dietary restrictions.
Who are you going to be wearing?
Yeah.
I haven't decided yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're a free agent.
Like,
so we're
Nordstrom Rack?
Or are we talking like Target? Yeah. Are we talking, what are we going
with? What are we going with?
Massimo?
I don't know. Are you holding out for like Gucci for someone to step up
to
the table?
Yeah, that's
or
exactly
what's
I'm
going on?
I'm waiting to be sponsored by a designer. I'm waiting for
Dior
to reach out to me and be like, sorry, we hear that you're going to be on a red carpet. Stacy Ross, do you say? We're very interested.
Stacy's like, I'm waiting. Okay, no one's going to come to the table. All right, I will take what I bought.
And I will be wearing jeans.
That's right. You didn't answer my question. So how prepared are you for this moment? That's my question. Because
be really,
you can't
really
go and represent our show.
No, I'm not
going
to embarrass us.
Not hold down the red carpet. You need to steal the show.
It's going to be really, really fun. It is not about me.
Okay. Yeah. Why did you wink into the camera, Stacy? Why did you wink?
It's not about me, guys.
Okay.
It's about the athletes that we're celebrating. I am an athlete, but it's not important. But me and Maura Dooley will be there. It's going to be from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Media Row at the 87th Annual Sports Star of the Year Awards. So there's all these great people that we're all genuinely excited to celebrate. So you get to hear a bit more about them. Why are you still laughing?
The 206s. She should wear the Slayer shirt.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't Slayer. It was Slipknot.
Slipknot. Yeah. That's right.
But, oh, my God. No, but we had a winner that got it in a contest.
It was Jessica. Yeah.
Yeah, Jessica chose. No, actually, a person called in, chose Jake, and then Jessica, who was the second caller, was elated to hear that she got to get paired with Curtis. And then Curtis
so
won,
mad about
obviously.
That. So upset.
And
about that.
Jessica got the T-shirt, so I no longer have the T-shirt, but I guess I can go get another one.
Yeah, there's nothing stopping you. I'm sure you've got lots of them in your closet.
Stacey can make a red carpet appearance.
That's
I think that would be a great.
That'd be fantastic.
I think I would be representing our show so well.
And then the other thing that I was laughing about, just purely in utter pain, is I was just looking at the Mariners stats and everything, and Adam Frazier, who is supposed to be your on base guy, he's your leadoff and all of that. Right now, in terms of RBIs, he is third on the team in RBIs with 17, and he is tied with Jesse Winker for 2 home runs apiece. So, I don't really know what to do other than just to, laugh off the pain,
Because you're it's either Adam Frazier is pleasantly surpassing expectations, or do I feel bad that Jesse Winker has not met them yet? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, Jesse Winker was supposed to be one of your run producing bats, supposed to bring in some power, and right now he is not doing that at the moment, Stacey. And I really don't know what to make of it. And Jesse Winker at the current moment has a negative 0.6 WAR. So I'm trying my hardest to just be hey, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Eventually, this is going to turn. The summer is coming, right? Tim Kirchen said, hey, when the summer happens, the ball flies a little bit better. We all know that, right? I mean, just hold out. Just hold out. And right now, it is through gritted teeth that I say that because it just is painful right now.
We had Ryan Divish joining us earlier. Guys, I really appreciated his line. I hadn't heard it before. Maybe I'm just late to the party, but that it's too late to say it's too early. Because you're at this curious in-between time for the Mariners. You're too far into the season to say that not only is there nothing to worry about, but there's no problem, and this isn't telling you a lot about the team you have right now, right? You're too far into the season. Like Curtis said, he looks at Memorial Day as kind of that marker of, you kind of know the team you have. Where do you go from here? Do you get healthier? Do you add? Do you trade pieces away? You can change it, but you know the team you have in that moment. But you're also not far enough along to know that, the chances of a postseason are completely out of grasp. Now, they need to stop burying themselves by dropping 4-game series to teams that are not even the best in their division. Mm-hmm. to teams that, frankly, had been cooling off. Good lineup, but hadn't been winning. And you also need to not, the fact that I cannot get over how ironic it is that the Mariners, as a team that really is going for it, have essentially the same record as a team that made no bones about how they were rebuilding.
Mm-hmm.
That should not be the case. Hopefully the Mariners heat up.
Yeah.
They're going to be getting healthier.
Bad. Hey, Curtis, you want to add more to the pain? You want to tell us about someone else who's not a Mariner anymore, who's doing really well? You want to just add that little nugget there?
Tyler Anderson's 4-0 with the Dodgers.
I hate you so much.
Yeah. Trevor Story, if he were a Mariner, he'd be second on the team in home runs.
Why do you,
I feel like you
woke up and decided to make us feel worse when I'm in here.
Look, I was gone all week last week when the wheels were starting to fall off. Now that they're off, I've been sitting on this.
Gosh.
Guys, it can get better. It's hard to get worse. It can get better because it's hard to get worse is what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. And you know what? Like the text line is saying right here, please stop freaking out about the Mariners. They are literally just a small 6 or 8 game win streak away from being totally relevant again. You're 100% right, 360.
How many home runs does a home run leader have right now, Curtis?
For the Mariners?
For the league.
Oh, for the league.
Yeah.
For the league.
Come on.
It's a lot more than, let's see.
Well, I'm saying you have Jesse Winker.
Aaron Judge is 15.
Great. You have Jesse Winker pop off 10 home runs.
He's going to be right there.
He's right there.
If he hits 10 more home runs right now,
if he's got
he would
10
be
home
third
runs,
in baseball.
Look, listen.
Yeah.
Tied with Yordan Alvarez
that's
and
exactly
Mike Trout.
Right. If Jesse Winker gets 10 home runs in this series against the A's, that's all I'm asking.
In a three-game series.
You can turn things around. That's,
couple of three home run games and then a four-home run game.
Done. That's done. You're done.
I mean, Trevor Story made it look really easy.
Yeah, how hard could it be?
Okay, well, guys, look. I have good news, though. Friday is 90s night for the Mariners.
Oh, yes.
It is 90s night.
Let's go.
The first 10,000 fans will receive a Mariners neon pink hat, so get your tickets now. Jake has lost it. Get your tickets now to watch the M's take on the Astros at Mariners.com/tickets. This hour brought to you by Muckleshoot Casino. All right. Now, I do actually want to look at this series. Okay. They are not out of it, Jake. They are not out of it. They have a chance with a series against a team that has been struggling.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually have a chance to get right. We're going to bring on Eno Saris, who covers the A's and the rest of the league for the Athletics. So we're going to have a little bit of Oakland A's talk and previewing the series and then a little bit of MLB talk, too, mixed in there. Don't go anywhere.